15. Mad Horses and an Englishwoman. The siren sent a shiver down Octavia's spine. The barking of dogs doubled her fear. She stared out the fiacre window and could only see that the guards were running back and forth across the courtyard.
"Something has gone dreadfully wrong," she said.
Colette shoved open the door and shouted,
"Allez vers la porte!"
The fiacre began to roll down the street towards the gate, but by its slowness it was clear the driver was apprehensive. Colette banged her fist on the ceiling.
"Dépêchez-vous!"
The fiacre picked up speed briefly, but slowed again as they neared the gate. Octavia spotted a man running across the courtyard, dogs pursuing him. It was too dark to tell if it was Modo, but who else could it be?
"The driver's a white-livered muffin-face," she muttered. "I'll jaw with him."
She pushed open the door, and, without so much as a glance at the cobblestone streets below, in fact, with a joyous beating of her heart, she grabbed onto the top rail, climbed the side of the carriage, and plopped down next to the driver.
"Sacré bleu," he said.
She would have laughed at the look of shock on his face if she wasn't in such a desperate hurry.
"Through the gate,"
she shouted, pointing madly ahead.
"Donnez la porte!"
She didn't know if those were the right words.
"Through the gates right now!"
"Non, non!"
he shouted back.
"Well, off with you, then!"
She gave him a shove. He tumbled from the driver's seat and bounced along the street. Octavia grabbed the reins and shook them, shouting,
"Go! Go!"
She had only a thimbleful of experience with horses, but she knew they answered to the whip, so she grabbed it from the holder and snapped it above their backs. The man who'd been fleeing was standing about 20 yards from the gates, two soldiers pointing rifles at him. Another soldier was holding a pair of hounds by their leashes as he approached from behind. Octavia turned the fiacre towards the gates. The horses let out worried whinnies and fought against the reins. She began yelling,
"Mad horses! Mad horses!"
Then Colette shouted out,
"Ces chevaux sont fous!"
The horses smashed through the gate, knocking two of the guards out of the way.
"Sorry, sorry,"
she shouted. Colette kept yelling,
"Ces chevaux sont fous!"
The guards were so taken aback that they didn't think to raise their guns. Octavia turned the horses and, as the guards scattered, pulled up right in front of Modo. She would have paid 1,000 quid for a painting of that moment. His wide eyes, his mouth hanging open in shock. She pulled back on the reins and let out a laugh, slowing the horses and turning so that Modo had time to leap into the open door of the fiacre. She yanked hard on the reins to head back towards the gate. The hounds had been released and were nipping at the horses' hooves, causing them to kick and buck. One gave a hound a good kick and he rolled away, and a second hound was soon outdistanced as the horses began to gallop again. Octavia urged them to gallop at such speed that she worried the carriage would shake apart. Behind them orders were shouted. A bullet hit the back of her seat and split the wood. She laughed.
As mad as the horses, she thought.
Now the fiacre was through the gates and bouncing down the cobblestone. She laughed again when she thought about Modo and Colette rolling around in the cabin. She urged the horses down the empty streets, turned sharply left, then right, then left, having no idea where she was going, but only wanting to get as far away from the bureau as possible.
"You can't stop now,"
Colette shouted through the window, after several more minutes. Octavia pulled on the reins, but the horses didn't obey. In desperation, she yanked so hard that one rein snapped.
"They've gone wild,"
Octavia shouted back. The horses' earlier frenzy was turning to fear. Now they couldn't stop whinnying as they galloped even faster through the night.
"I said stop,"
Colette yelled.
"Stop! Easier said than done,"
Octavia shouted back. She yanked on the remaining reins, digging her feet into the driver's box. Another rein snapped, and the horses veered to the right. She had lost all control. The carriage was already off the road and bumping along the sidewalk, missing lampposts by inches. It brushed against a wall and a wheel was knocked off.
"Jump!"
she shouted.
"Jump for your lives!"
And she leapt, aiming for the straw piled at the edge of the street, landing hard and rolling along. She was on her feet again immediately, pleased she hadn't brained herself. The carriage had already careened down the street and was breaking into pieces as the horses dragged it out of sight. Momentarily, she thought her companions were still inside. Then she saw something move in the gutter.
It was Modo.
He was helping Colette to her feet.
This way, Colette said, gesturing.
Curious men and women, alarmed by the noise, were opening windows and stumbling out of doors, rubbing the sleep or the effect of drink from their eyes. Colette grabbed Modo and pulled him down an alley, Octavia a few steps behind. They ran, twisting and turning up ever-narrowing streets, until Octavia felt her heart would burst. Finally, Colette led them into an abandoned building, and they stopped to rest next to a stinking cistern.
"Remind me never to let you drive again," Modo said,
doubled over and gasping. Octavia laughed as she tried to catch her breath.
"You should be thanking me. Not that I'm keeping count, but that would be the fourth time I've saved your life. I had the situation under control."
She rolled her eyes.
"Well, perhaps I am thankful," he admitted. "However, you did come within inches of running me down." "Did you get the documents?"
Colette asked. She seemed the least winded of the three of them, Octavia noted.
"I managed to take several, but was then interrupted by a man named Laroche." "Laroche? Has he been assigned to your case now?"
"Yes."
"He's a good man, very thorough,"
Colette said.
"Far too thorough. He saw through my disguise. We had a pleasant conversation, a struggle, and I escaped."
He patted his bulging pocket.
"I do hope the answers we seek will be found on one of these pages."
Colette smiled with anticipation.
"We'll go through them as soon as we've reached my apartment."
Modo shook his head.
"No. Laroche said they've been watching you for several weeks. We can't go there. We'll need to find some other shelter. Any suggestions?" "Obviously we can't go to a hotel, nor would my mother's home be safe. No, they'll have eyes on all those places within the hour." "We need somewhere safe for just a night,"
Octavia said.
"Somewhere we can read the documents and sleep."
Colette snapped her fingers.
"I know the perfect place to hide."